Meeting this morning, and we're all here, everyone. So
now
we're all here, and we have first up the governor's confirmations for the Board of Game. We have all three of the applicants are on the teleconference, and so we'll start with Greg Rockzicka. The procedure that we will be using is we will expect each one of the game board applicants to just give us a little bit about themselves. We have their resumes in our packet, and then we will have the committee be asking them any questions. And then after we have people asking questions, we'll go to the teleconference and or to the people here in the audience who either want to testify or ask questions of the applicants. For those people who only want to submit a testimony, if they have it in writing, we'll take that, or we will take their testimony orally. And we would ask them to try to keep that testimony between 2 and 3 minutes. If they have questions that they want to ask, we'll give a little bit more leeway with that. But we still want to be sure that everyone gets to be heard. So if it seems like it's getting a little draggy and lasting too long, I'll take the initiative to speed up the process a bit. So let's begin with Greg. If you're there, Greg, would you tell us who you are and tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to be a member of the Board of Game?
Yes, Madam Chairman. I lived in that's almost all my life. I've grown up here, not native to the countryside, but I just am one of those guys that ever since I was a small child, I was looked at the ads in the magazine to become a game ward and so forth. I always had a deep interest in resource issues and game management, and taken it on as a career here in the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm kind of practicing what I preach, in that I've been part of a lot of the contentious issues over the last several years. And I always tell people that, you know, if you're going to have complaints about things, you better be ready to get on some of them. And so essentially that's where I'm at. Asked a lot of people to consider putting their name in. Appointments were coming up, and no one from out in this area of the state put one in come around December, so I went ahead.
Thank you. Is there any members of the... Are you finished? Okay. Thank you, Greg. Really appreciate you coming forward to volunteer your time and service on this very worthwhile cause. Is there any members of the committee that has any questions for Greg? Representative Willis.
Madam Chair, sir, have you ever hunted, and what is your general philosophy toward hunting?
I'm sorry, it was difficult to understand.
The question from Representative Willis was, have you ever hunted, and what is your basic philosophy towards hunting?
Yes, I've... hunted and fished pretty much since I was old enough to carry a rifle. And hunting is a way of obtaining food, essentially. That's my basic philosophy. It's a food source.
Thank you. Is there any other questions? How do you pronounce your last name, Greg?
It's Rosichka.
Rosicka, okay.
Rose with an H that you scratch and K-A on the end.
Okay.
Rosicka.
Good. All right, I'll remember that one. Yes, Representative Ogun, please be loud enough so that he can hear your question.
I generally don't have that problem. Greg, this is Representative Ogun speaking here. This board often is... controversial. It's a heck of a lot of hard work, and you have to have a hide thicker than a grizzly bear to deal with the pressure put upon people for various interest groups that have different agendas. Just kind of curious why you'd want to subject yourself to that.
Well, I guess falling back on, I mentioned earlier, I've been dealing with that on the front lines of political controversy for the last 8 years within my work between the state, federal, and village governments. And so I guess I don't see it as anything really different than what I've already been doing at a much higher level, though, whatever, a broader level. I worked with on the U.S.-Canada salmon treaty negotiations. I can see that on my resume. That was no easy task. And you know, over the past 5 years or so, well, since McDowell came down, of course, between I find myself being the liaison between the state and federal managers to a great degree, and also, you know, with the whole subsistence issue. Something here. So I guess I pretty much got calluses all over my body already.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Green?
Thank you. Greg, I'm wondering, you mentioned that you thought honey was primarily a source of food. Do you have a strong position, and I won't ask you what it might be, but do you have a strong position on any kind of preferential hunting? Or hunting preferences of individuals? For individuals, not of individuals. I'm skirting an issue that's very contentious. I'm just wondering if you have a strong position or are you open on that?
I understand where you're coming from. Down to the bottom line, we got to look at what a population, you know, what harvestable surplus is going to bear on any population. And that's one great frustration that I have, that a lot of that information is still not there, even though it's been 20 years or 25 years since management per se came into Alaska as a whole. If there's enough there to provide for everybody, for all the desired uses, you know, I have no problem with people being able to catch, but the bottom line is I feel that if you're going to kill something, that it ought to be put to some use.
Thank you.
Thank you. Greg, I have a question for you, and that is, what is your basic philosophy of the relationship? This is going to be a little harder, but the relationship between animals and people?
When you grow up out in the countryside, such as I have, you get ingrained within you such a deep respect for nature. I'm so thankful for every time when I go out. You never know if you're gonna catch something or not. And it's just one of deep respect.
Okay, I appreciate that answer, but
it's almost like a religious thing.
I hear you.
It's a very difficult one to put into words.
Yeah, I hear you, Greg, and I expected you to give me that kind of a response. But now I'm going to get just a little bit deeper. In this world where we have a growing population of people, we have a natural declining population of animals. And there's various different kinds of views as to what we ought to do about that. One is that people should keep hands off of the animals. And the other is that people ought to manage the animals to keep them from declining. So I would like to know of those two approaches, which you would prefer.
There's got to be a balance in between. I don't know. I can't agree with extremists either side, you know, kill them all or don't kill any. There's a balance to be found, and I think a lot of it is mostly just from lack of understanding or even recognizing that other people have a valid point of view. And I have a very difficult time even conceptualizing that in my own mind, how people can think that way. And that's what I think a lot of it is just a lack of understanding from or lack of a willingness on either side to understand the other's point of view. And I'd like to invite anybody who wants to take a real verbal public stance on any of those issues to go live out in a village for a year at the same level that people who do live there year-round, and to see how it is to have to survive and take care of yourself and your family.
Thank you very much. That's a very in-depth answer. I appreciate your candidness. Is there any other questions, Representative Robinson?
Yeah, my question is this. What qualifications do you bring to the board that you think is going to be kind of the special qualification that you know, you'll be bringing to the board over and above what's already there?
Perhaps more of a cooperative approach would be the main thing I have to offer. 5 years ago, we had villages and the managers, and when I say managers, I'm speaking both state and federal, that we've got there now, they weren't even willing to talk to each other, basically. And we got people down, and it's a real simple graphic. You've got a piece of paper in front of you. You've got the villages on one side, and you've got either state or federal on the other side. Everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants to have enough animals to hunt, or wants to be able to continue that into the future. And if you put along one line, you put the villages over there, you can put them down over the other side of your line with the government managers, and you put up on top the animals or a stable population that will have a harvestable surplus to meet the needs of as many people as possible. And you draw a line between that, you got one of the most stable structures known to man in the shape of a pyramid. That's really worked wonders in our region. Brown bear with moose on the Yukon, with caribou here on the Kuskokwim. And I've seen that reflected in just a vast decrease in the number of proposals that have come in from this area in recent years. They used to be generated by the Army, and now you'll find maybe half a dozen. You know. Everything's, of course, not something that says we all got it. We still got that knocking going on at these meetings, but there's a dialogue there that was not before. And I would hope to be able to bring some of that capability into the board game process.
Thank you. Is there anyone else have any questions? Representative Ivan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say hello to Greg. It's been a while, and I know I've seen you survive with working with the communities throughout that area. Sometimes politics can get pretty heavy, and I commend you for your survival out there. Thank you.
And Greg, this is Representative James again. I want to tell you that since the period of time that I've had these names before me for the game board, I have heard nothing negative about you, nothing but support. So for what that's worth, and I appreciate your way that you've answered the questions this morning. I think from my respect, you get 100%. But we have some people on teleconference that have asked to be speaking on the for this board of game. And let's see, I have one question in my mind now. If these people want to have testimony that relates to all three candidates, we could take that once. If they have questions that they want for a specific candidate, then I would ask you to wait until time to do that, if that's understandable. And we have here in Juneau Eddie Grasser, and I might ask him before we go any further, if you are interested in testifying, just testifying on all three candidates, or did you wish to ask any questions of specific candidates?
No, Madam Chair, I'll testify on all three.
You to testify on all three. Okay. We might wait till we're all finished then before we take that kind of testimony. Yes, I have Carl Rozier down here too. Are you just wanting to testify on all three candidates?
Yes, that's
okay.
Right,
all right, we'll take your testimony at the end after we've heard each candidate then. So for any one that is out there, we have John Zablinski in Tolk, we have Trish Wirtz in Fairbanks, Lynn Levengood in Fairbanks, Bill Hager in Fairbanks. In Anchorage, we have Robert Nance, Jay Massey, and Warren Olson. If any of you, and we have Matsu, we have Roy Burkhart, Elizabeth Burkhart, David Grind, Wayne Woods, Gary Paul, Ken Rivard, if any of those people have any questions for Greg, we have also in Homer, we have Marvin Park and Dan Haskins, and in Kenai, Robert Brown. So if any of these have any questions for Greg at this time, I would ask that you speak up.
We have a question here at
Avery. Yes. You have a question? Someone has a question for Greg? Okay. Then if there's no one that has any questions for Greg, we thank you very much, Greg, for coming forward today and answering the questions. And this will conclude our hearing on your name as an appointee. I would urge that you stay around if possible, however, and listen to the rest of the testimony, the questions from the other candidates, in the event that there are some testimony at the end that you might be interested in.
Yes, Madam Chair. I'll remain on the line.
All right, thank you. Representative Robinson, did you have a question?
Yeah, I just had a question of you. Just in all the other confirmation hearings I was in last year and this year, we never took testimony from the public. Is that kind of the new policy, or is that just what you think is
That's my policy.
Okay. I'm not saying it's wrong. I just, we haven't in the past. So that's your plan then?
That is my plan, for each one
to take testimony on.
Yes. If they want to give testimony or if they want to ask questions, I think this is the proper place to be able to do that. I think this is a public process.
So they can ask the question directly to the person?
Yes.
And the person can respond? Okay.
Yes,
good.
That's correct. Okay. Okay, so then next one up is Ann Ruggles. Are you there, Ann?
Yes, am I.
Would you please go ahead and tell us who you are and why you're interested in, a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in this position?
Okay, thank you.
My name
is Ann Lovell.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Ann, can you speak a little closer to the microphone? We're having a hard time hearing you.
Okay. My primary interest in serving on the Board of Game was peaked during my tenure on the Alaska Wolf Management Planning Team several years ago. Prior to that, I had just been an observer of the process. Had wondered why more people weren't involved but didn't get involved myself. Finally became involved in the Wolf Management Planning process and decided to use the country finally act on using that I had demands or requests that I had made of other people to serve. So I asked to serve. Governor Hinkle finally appointed me. I found it an extremely challenging, rewarding 3 years, 3 years during which I learned a great deal. I feel like I have just now really learned the process well enough that I could truly be an effective board member. I find it, as a scientist, extremely rewarding and interesting to merge both science and policy. As scientists, sometimes we tend to think we have all the answers, and this was definitely a wake-up call. Science cannot answer all the questions that we are asked to make in this setting, since we are human beings demanding things from a system. So there's a large component of sociology, anthropology, values, culture, experiences, and so forth that has to be added to the scientific end of this. So I had to grow as a scientist in doing this. I was also raised with a very strong sense of responsibility to participate in our governance as a society. I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Representative Green?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ann, you've worked 10 years with the wolf problem. What would you do if you got into something that was controversial? No, never mind. No, that's not the question. The question is, your background is one of, it's impressive to say the least. Your accomplishments are many and your research is very commendable. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel on the management of our wildlife between federal requirements and state constitution?
If I had the answer to that, I had I hope yes. I tend to be a very optimistic person. I honestly believe that there are people involved in this issue who want to make it work. I don't think there are many people involved in it who are looking out for their own selfish personal gain. I think it's going to take, will continue to take a while for us to talk among ourselves, both as a state, within a state, and there are an awful lot of, if nothing else, there's definitions we need to decide upon in the state. I think we probably have close to 600,000 different definitions of what is subsistence here. But we are talking with one another, and that's how we're eventually going to solve this. But we need to continue to talk. The governor's office, through the initiative by the lieutenant governor, has been prodding us along, pushing us along, convincing people to sit down and talk with them and with one another. I think there probably is some hope, but I don't think it's going to occur immediately. I think we just need to be stubborn and keep working at it.
Good word.
Thank you, Reverend Logan.
Thank you, Ms. Ruggles. It's my understanding that you voted against the expansion of hunting opportunities on the Mulchatna herd, in spite of the fact that there was science stating that the herd was growing beyond its range, and felt an appropriate way to manage that herd would be to liberalize some land and shoot hunting seasons. Do you care to explain your vote?
My vote didn't have anything to do with whether with expansion of hunting opportunities or not. I agree, there is plenty of room for hunting that herd. My vote was a comment upon the method that was used, the method that the Board of Game had in the past said was not a reasonable use, a reasonable way to hunt wildlife. It was a vote in response to people in the area and from other areas around the state, from hunters and non-hunters alike, who feel that that method of hunting is not an ethical one and is one which is open to abuse. I have absolutely no problem at all with increasing harvest from that herd. I just don't think that's the method for doing it.
Well, Madam Chair, if I may, for the record, that I'm familiar with that that particular situation. I was on the guide board at the time, and it was a late season. It was, I believe, in January, February of the year, so that there would be no possibility of trophy hunting. It was strictly a meat hunt, essentially for locals. And also, Ms. Ruggles, is it true, would you confirm the rumors I heard that you were seen promoting people to sign a petition for the Wolf Initiative?
I don't know that I can comment on rumors, since I don't know the genesis of them. I had nothing to do with that. I was asked by any number of people about the petition, what it contained, what it might mean, and so forth, and my comment was always, you need to get a hold of it, read it for yourself, and decide whether you want to sign it.
Did you support that petition?
I don't like the petition process. I don't think that's a legitimate way to manage wildlife, or to make other laws, for that matter. I do think it's a process that people employ when they are frustrated with a system that they feel is non-responsive to them.
Do you support same-day aerial hunting of wolves?
As a mechanism for recreational hunting, sport hunting, or no, I don't. I do not think it's an ethical method of hunting, and I'm not alone in that feeling. There are many, many hunters, non-hunters, people who have no particular interest in wildlife who feel that it's not a particularly ethical way of hunting.
And could I ask you to speak a little closer to the microphone, or even the recorder is having a difficult time picking up your voice?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Go ahead, Representative Olgan.
Let me put it this way, not as a recreational way of hunting, but as a tool for intensive management as mandated by state statute. Do you support same-day hunting, aerial hunting, or same-day flying and shoot of wolves?
If it is a decision of the state that we are going to have a predator control program, It is one of the most efficient and effective ways in some areas to kill wolf, yes.
That's a very carefully worded answer. Do you support it?
If it's a tool that I think is a legitimate one in the area under the given circumstances, yes, and that's something you can go back and look to the Wolfman Just Fighting Team final report and see that we all supported that.
And for another
go ahead, Representative Ogden.
You voted to close the hunting opportunities at the Paint River bear hunt, in spite of the fact that there's a lot of areas that are closed to bears. Why do you feel it's necessary to continue to restrict access and close areas to hunting?
That one is a very special instance. That we're talking about the McNeil Bear Refuge area. It is an area that many, many people, again, hunters and non-hunters alike, and guides, bear guides, have such high value for viewing that this was one place that was important for us to protect a given population and, yes, even individual bears. It isn't something that I think should be done everywhere, or even I can't think of other places right now where that would be a legitimate place. I don't think there's any place else that has that high value for viewing. I would say that at the same time that the board made that decision, and that was a 4-3 decision this past year to close that area to bear hunting, there was a loss, if you will, of the opportunity to hunt free bears. The board, though, had in GMU 13 increased bear hunting, brown bear hunting substantially, and that was primarily for residents of the state of Alaska.
Madam Chair, Ms. Ruggles, you say that there were scientific reasons for doing things. However, there wasn't a biological reason for closing the area. There's been hunting there for 20 years without any detrimental impact on bear population. Was your reason a scientific one or an emotional one?
Oh, no. It's much more complex than that. None of the decisions can be turned into something that simplistic. It's worth my saying this right now. I do have a very definite philosophy when it comes to decision-making on the board. And that philosophy arises both from my experiences as an individual, as a human being, and as a scientist. And in managing wildlife, we are acting because human beings want something from a wild or a natural system. And that entails several things. While we make our decisions, they do, of necessity, have to include scientific information. But the scientific information cannot make the decision. All science can do for us is say, if you take a particular action, you are with some degree of certainty going to get this reaction. It also says that if you take action B, you are with some degree of certainty going to get reaction B. If you take action C, you are with some degree of certainty going to get reaction C. Science, however, cannot tell us which of those actions is the correct action to take. Science isn't designed to do that. It is merely a process of doing, if you will. So our decision-making also has to include considering the legal context within which we're working. It also includes sociological considerations, cultural considerations, values, experiences, both of local communities and of Western society, and it includes the political context in which it occurs. So my decision included all of those. Science was certainly a part of it, but as I said, science can't say which is the right action to take. All those other points have to be considered, too. And so all of those were inherent in my decision on that vote.
Now you get one more, Mr. Representative Ogden.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Can you... And again, you're really going to have to speak up. It's also going statewide gavel to gavel, and you're very difficult to hear. And so you're going to have to really speak into the phone so we can all hear your answers.
Okay. I'll try just to raise my voice. Does that help?
Yes.
That's better.
Okay.
One last question for me. You voted against black bear bait hunting because you were quoting the Daily News saying that it was unethical. And... Would you care to explain what you meant by that?
Yes, and again, this is a decision that includes all those components which I touched on a little bit earlier. It is a practice which many people, to include hunters, to include bear hunters even, if we are to believe a publication published by Department of Fish and Game in February of 1994, find as not being a particularly ethical way of hunting. It's certainly something that we have practiced in our life. My father-in-law has a ranch in Texas. It is down there legal to hunt deer with bait. It is a practice that we have never allowed as we leased our land for hunting because we felt it was unfair taste, if you will. It tilted, I guess, the whole process to favor humans rather than it being truly a hunt between humans and the wildlife they were seeking to obtain.
Thank you.
Representative Green.
Thank you, and I'm sorry to continue this grueling, but you made a statement that you said that science can give you a trend. If you invoke system A, you can tend to expect a response in A and so on through the alphabet. But did I hear you say that science then doesn't offer you an answer that... my concern is are you saying science is questionable or that your answer to a particular vote or the position you take on a particular vote may be made up of the finite values from science as well as sociological and political?
It is the latter. Science can't say which is the right action to take. It can only say if you take this action, you're likely with some degree of certainty to get this particular reaction. But there are any number of actions we can take from, let's say, going in and eliminating some population of animals to not hunting it at all, and any number of actions in between that. Science can't tell us, though, which of those is the right action to take. That is inherently a societal decision.
I understand. I misunderstood what you said. Yes, I agree that, but you're not questioning the science. You're just saying that's not the final answer.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just saying that's
Thank
not
you.
The final answer.
Representative Robinson?
Yeah, and a couple of questions. From reading through your resume and hearing, I take it that you're obviously sitting on the board at this time. How many years have you been serving?
3 years.
And in your time that you've been serving, can you give me any examples that you've taken action that is in support of hunting?
Oh, many times. We've created a number of hunts, goat hunts. We've increased opportunity by, making a variety of access means available to the same area, therefore we can allow more people into an area over a longer period of time by increasing the variety of weapons that are available to use. We've actually created several new hunts. Right off the top of my head, a swan hunt, number of goat hunts, caribou hunts. We've increased caribou hunting opportunity. I worked long and hard in creating the walrus hunt on Round Island. I go back and look through decisions we've made over time and my vote on those decisions. We've increased beaver bag limits in a number of places for beaver trapping, lengthened wolf hunting seasons, or wolf trapping seasons, lengthened marten seasons. There are a number of instances, both by lengthening seasons, by being creative about how we're using access, by being creative about what methods we allow in given areas, by having cow moose hunts and so forth, and creating cow moose hunts in places, where I've certainly voted and worked hard toward increasing hunting opportunity.
Yeah. Representative Robinson, continue.
Just one other question. Are you a hunter yourself?
My husband and I don't go out and hunt for ourselves because we don't eat enough meat to warrant our taking an animal. We would end up wasting something. What we do, though, is go out with friends and help. We help in tracking. We help set up campsite. We butcher. We haul meat out. And in return, we get a portion of what's taken.
Okay. Anyone else? Representative Willis?
Madam Chair, Ann, a member of the other body has made some strong statements against you in a letter to the chair, and this letter was included in our packet, and in fairness, I'm wondering if you would care to respond to the letter of March 13th, 1996 by Senator Sharp.
I haven't seen it, so I can't respond to it.
And we'll fax it to you.
Okay.
What's the number?
See if I can remember off the top of my head. I'll have to call you when I get into my office.
Okay. All right. We will fax it to you. But okay. In the meantime, Representative Willis could paraphrase some of the concerns.
Okay.
Well, it's a short letter. I guess I could read it.
You have my permission to read it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. The letter is dated March 13th, 1996, to Representative Jeanette James from Senator Bert Sharp regarding Ann Ruggles' reappointment to the Board of Game. Ann Ruggles' record as a Board of Game member is clear. She has consistently been a dissenting vote against hunting activities and proposals to increase depressed moose and caribou herd size by active management. She has supported the elimination of hunting via closing areas, eliminating or reducing open seasons, restricting methods and means of taking and promoting biodiversity, which is keyed to removing human harvest from the equation of beneficial uses of the game resources. Her philosophy is clearly illustrated by her own words on her resume, quote, "My goal is to devise ways in which humans can exist in the natural world with minimal impact on the natural systems," unquote. She is not qualified to serve as an objective policymaker in the management of game resources as required by the Constitution and laws of Alaska. I strongly urge Ms. Ruggles not be confirmed by the legislature. Signed by Senator Bert Sharp.
You want my response to this?
You may. I mean, the letter was in my packet and all our packets, and you know, I think in fairness, if you care to respond, please do.
Okay. Surely I will. And
after
I do find my fax number, I'll give that to you first, and then I will respond. The fax number is
474-6185. Thank you, Will. I'll get that fax off to you.
Thank you very much. I guess the first thing I would say is that if one were to go back and look at my voting records, one would find that on almost all issues, all instances where we had a proposal that would increase opportunity, if we had the chance to increase opportunity, and we could do so without harming the wildlife population in question, I voted to do so. I would suggest I haven't had any long conversations with Senator Sharp, so I can't tell you, I can't respond to specific concerns he has, but I can say it sounds to me that he's very concerned about a handful of votes that I have made. And they appear to be votes that are very, very important to him, on issues that are very important to him. My guess is that to him, that colors my entire record as a Board of Game member, those few votes. It's my reading of what the requirements are of the Board of Game that it is to reflect the diversity of values and experiences held by Alaskans. And I don't think that I am unreflective of a significant portion of the state. I think there are many, many people within the state, and hunters and non-hunters alike, who share the value system which I hold. It is one that says that human beings are a part of the system. And I don't think that's a part of the natural system. I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. I also, he commented on a sentence in my resume about trying to devise ways which humans can exist in the natural world with minimal impact on natural systems. That's a very global statement on my part, a very general global statement. Madam Chairman commented on this earlier when she was asking a question of the previous candidate regarding the relationship between humans and animals, and she made a comment about the human population. This is something that concerns me, not just in terms of wildlife, but in terms of natural systems that can support wildlife in the future. And it is my goal that we manage our systems up here, which means wildlife and humans alike, in such a way that 100 years from now there is a need to have a board of game, and that we can continue to have the discussions, the arguments, and so forth that we've had over the last 20 years regarding predator management or not predator management, or predator control or not predator control, or intensive management. I sincerely hope that we as a society here in Alaska have managed ourselves such that these arguments can continue, that everything, the systems are still largely intact, that the populations are still there, intact, so that we can still argue about whether we want intensive management or we don't want intensive management. That's the best I can do without having a conversation with Senator Sharp and finding out what his specific problems are with my voting record.
Thank you, Ann.
Okay, Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Ann, previously you mentioned that you had a concern about a method of hunting, I think, on the Mulchatna caribou herd, where hunting would not have been a problem in terms of management, but the method you objected to. Could you tell me what that method was that was offensive?
Same day airborne, where someone would fly in and shoot their caribou and then presumably leave right away. It's a method that has been abused in the past. It's a method that once was used for ungulate hunting in the state and which was eliminated because of abuses. It is a method which is viewed as unsporting, if you will, by many people. And that comes down to, quite frankly, if you will, an ethical decision on my part.
Thank you.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And you defended your global statement in the letter. I would ask you maybe a little more specifically if a four-legged predator preys predominantly on the weak and the young, and a two-legged predator preys predominantly on the upper end of the species. If it were just the lame and the sick from the four-legged kind and not the young, there may be a strong desire to permit that as the controller. But in a period of reduced game, which of those predators would you tend to want to curtail?
Let me add to your statement first. I would say four-legged predators probably are more apt to take whatever is most easily available to them, which means could be the young, could be the old, could be the lame, could be stupid, could be somebody who tripped, somebody who's not wanting. In periods of declining populations or low populations, I think everybody has to take a hit. Human beings have to step back some, and four-legged predators will certainly step back some in the long run, and that their populations will decrease as food becomes less available to them. If we increase hunting seasons or trapping seasons, that's fine too.
Hunting and trapping for the four-legged predators?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? this is Representative James, and one of the things that, and I was here 3 years ago, and in the Resources Committee, we were taking your testimony regarding appointment to the board game. And at that time, the wolf control issue was even more fiery than it is today. And a lot of the questions had to do with intensive game management and had to do with wolf control and how best to do it. And I remember your statement regarding the aerial hunting of wolves. And hopefully I can remembered it correctly, because at that point in time, you indicated that if we were going to, if we had a need to reduce the wolf population, that the aerial hunting of wolves was the best way to do it, and that you needed to take out the whole pack. Is that what, do I remember correctly what you said that day?
What I do is the first part of aerial hunting, and I mean that literally aerial hunting, not live and shoot hunting, but aerial gunning with people who know what they are doing and are working in the places that the department has determined are the places it needs to occur, is probably the most efficient, effective, and humane way of removing animals. This was a conclusion that the Wolf Management Planning Team came to. It's a conclusion that I think is still valid.
Okay, I guess that one, and just following up, and since you've been involved in this wolf issue all along, and you know the traumas that we've had with it, just as a public policy, as more than anything else, because people do generally react emotionally, is because people don't like the aerial hunting of it. So, you know, if we're going to have wolf, this is my summation then, if we're going to have wolf control, and I've listened to you as an expert on this, that the best way to do it, most effective way, most humane way, is the aerial hunting. And yet when we talk about aerial hunting of wolves, that seems to be the reason why people oppose wolf control at all, because they don't want aerial hunting of wolves. Could you explain, is that the way you see the general public's attitude, or if not, would you like to comment on that assumption?
Sure. I think that's certainly a component of it. I think that in fact, I know, just judging from phone calls and letters and conversations I've had with people walking around town, there are many people who view that as an unethical method of doing business. And it's been viewed that way for a long, long time, which is why we have the Federal Airborne Hunting Act, because of a response that people had to the ethics of that as a method of hunting. And I am making a distinction between hunting and a control activity.
I understand that.
Okay. But I think it's also more complex than that. It's a good deal more complex than that. There is among many people a real distaste for controlling populations, altering population sizes to enhance one species at the expense of another species, particularly if it's to enhance recreational opportunity for human beings. An awful lot of people look to how we have managed predators in the lower 48 and fear that we're going to make the same errors up here, that since our technology is great deal better than it was back during the 20s, 30s, and 40s in the lower 48, where you can have a larger impact over a shorter period of time with a longer recovery period afterwards. So I do think there is a very strong response to predator control, which is why we haven't yet resolved it and why it will probably be a good time in the future before we do resolve it. And it's a response from within the state. For a long time, I felt like we were trying to blame our inability to engage in a predator control activity because of outside influences. And I think that was hiding from the reality, the fact that we as Alaskans are a diverse group. We have as much diversity of opinion, of experience, of values up here as you find anywhere else in the United States. And we need to begin, this sounds like a rerun, we need to begin to talk among ourselves in a constructive way, not by trying to put people in boxes. Oh, well, you think this way, therefore you are an anti, or you think this way, therefore you want to just blast all the wolves that all we have are moose and caribou out there. We need to begin to engage in a very constructive dialogue among ourselves. We have done that in a small way. It started with the Wolf Management Planning Team. It's continuing now with a 40-mile caribou planning team. It's a long, slow, tedious process, but it's one of, I guess, the benefits of our having a democratic society where we all feel like we can have a voice in the process. And where, particularly up here in Alaska, we all tend to take that very seriously. We all do want to get involved in the process.
Well, and one of the things that you said was that if the net result of this is for recreation, and you were relating in that statement, you were relating to hunters who want to recreate. But I think that the part of this argument is really recreation, because the other side of the issue, who doesn't want the hunting, wants to recreate by watching the animals. And we've passed legislation which would mandate intensive game management as a decision making for the future of the state. Intensive game management to me would mean that we would manage our game so that we have more, not less, and that management does not necessarily mean cutting off the ability of people to recreate. It is also my opinion that recreational hunting has a two purpose. One is for food and the other is for recreation, and that my experience with the hunters are more successful than my experience was in hunting down in Oregon and Washington when I lived there. So I guess the concern that I have is, even with your appointment at this date, and if I can make this very perfectly clear, because I believe that you are a very deep thinker and that you do weigh all of the considerations. But the problem that I have is it appears to me that your personal choice is on the side of the people who don't want to kill animals, as opposed to be those that do. And that's almost even borne out by the fact that you go with your friends to hunt, but you don't hunt. And you do the other things that's actually not killing the animals. And I would read that to believe that you have a personal belief that killing the animals is wrong.
Let me respond to that. Having lived as a farmer and rancher for much of my life and having killed and butchered much of what I've eaten and what I have raised, I have no problem with killing animals. I could take that one step further even. I worked for many years as a biochemical geneticist and have killed literally hundreds of animals in the lab situation for doing research. So that has no bearing on it for me. We don't hunt ourselves up here because we don't eat that much meat, and it would be a waste on our part to take a moose. We have worked out a situation with friends that is amicable for all of us. We all benefit. If that is somehow, I guess, wrong, then I'm sorry that you think that. It's a decision that has worked very well for all of us.
Well, and I didn't say it was wrong. I just said that indicated to me that you are on one side of the fence as opposed to the other side of the fence, as opposed to being in the middle and able to go either way. That was my observation, and that's the kind of a question or response that I was looking for you to indicate, which you have tried to respond, and I understand that. Representative Ogun?
One question. Ms. Ruggles, I think it boils down to where the rubber hits the road here, Article 8 of the Constitution says that we'll manage our resources on a sustained yield basis, and the legislature has passed statute to further that philosophy in intensive management statutes. Are you willing to take your oath seriously to defend the Constitution of the state of Alaska and recognize the legislature as the policy setters and vote to intensively manage game, if it includes some things that possibly you might personally have a problem with, like aerial wolf hunting, if it's the most efficient?
I will, when presented with proposals at a meeting, consider what the law is, what the information is that the Department of Fish and Game gives us as far as biological information that is available, and consider what I hear from the public, both in oral testimony and in written testimony, and make my decisions. And the decision, as I said before, the decisions certainly occur within a legal framework, and that is a part of what I have to consider when I make a decision.
That's a yes or no answer.
If it is a law, then then yes, if everything else falls into line, and I think it is a proposal that is warranted and for which there is support, both biological and public support within the legal framework, then yes.
That's what I thought you'd say. Thank you.
Is there any other questions? And I would ask of those people on the teleconference, if they have specific questions for Ms. Ruggles, I'd like to move on if I could hear their testimony at the end after I've heard from Mr. Bollingberg. Thank you, Ms. Ruggles, for coming forward today and answering all these questions. And would you please stay around in case we have time yet to be hearing the testimony from the people on teleconference regarding all three appointments?
Yes, ma'am, I will. Thank you.
Before we go any further, it is now 9 o'clock, and we have gone through two of the applicants for the Board of Gaming. We have one more. We have a long list of people waiting on teleconference to testify on the Board of Game, and I don't believe that we're going to get to the two bills that we have listed on today's schedule. For any of those people who are waiting to testify on, is it House Bill 371, and there's another one, 383. I don't believe we'll get to those today. So you're welcome to...
One person online for 383 and more than 20 on 371.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get to 371 today, and it's questionable as to whether we get to 383. If you want to wait around for that, you can. We might be able to get to it before we're through. So next we have...
So we'll roll 371 over to Thursday morning at 8 o'clock.
Our next one is I don't think so. I don't want to start and I'm not finished. Okay, next we have Mr. Van Ballenberg. Are you there, please? Victor?
Where are you, Victor? Sorry, Madam Chair. He's here.
Okay. Thank you, Victor. If you would come forward and tell us who you are and tell us why you'd like to be a member of the Board of Game.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. First off, let me thank you for your interest in the process and for giving me an opportunity to speak with you today. I am Vic Van Ballenberg and a resident of Anchorage, and I'd like to tell you something about my background and my views on wildlife issues. Right off the bat, I detect an interest in the committee in questioning Board of Game applicants about their views on hunting, their personal views on hunting. I want to tell you that were it not for hunting, I wouldn't be here before you today. I grew up on a farm as a kid with guns and traps and fishing poles and developed an early interest in it. And in thinking about today's testimony yesterday, it occurred to me that I haven't missed a single year in the last 40 of hunting something somewhere. Much of it's been outside of Alaska, much of it's been up here. But I'm an avid hunter. I have a personal interest in it. I participate in it. My last hunting experience in Alaska was near Delta Junction in 1995. And subsequently then hunted outside the state in the fall of 95. And I do currently hold a state of Alaska resident hunting license. Professionally, I'm a wildlife biologist with about 30 years of experience. I have graduate degrees in wildlife management from the University of Minnesota. I'm a certified wildlife biologist, which means that the professional organization of wildlife biologists, the Wildlife Society, an international group, has certified that I have met certain coursework and experience qualifications, and certified ranking is the highest ranking that that body gives. I came to Alaska in 1974 to work for the state of Alaska Department of Fish and Game. as a research biologist. I worked for 3 years in the Glen Allen area on wolf and moose research. I lived in Fairbanks from 1977 to 87. While there, I also worked for the Department of Fish and Game as a statewide fur bearer biologist. During that experience, I had statewide responsibilities. I made contacts with trappers all over the state, rural areas, and achieved some understanding of rural management and problems. 1980 till the present, I've been a researcher for the U.S. Forest Service, where I've worked mainly on moose and wolves and big game predator-prey relationships. I've published numerous technical and popular articles. 1985, Governor Sheffield appointed me to the Board of Game. I served one term, 1985 to 88. At that time, the board was dealing with, believe it or not, some of the same contentious issues that we deal with today. Subsistence, wolf management, land and shoot hunting, many other wildlife issues. While I was on the board, I think the board made the first efforts to classify communities as rural or non-rural, and we dealt with such problems as determining customary and traditional uses and criteria. While I was on the board, while the board was dealing with wolf management, I voted for and the board subsequently adopted a wolf control area in Game Management Unit 20B near Fairbanks that involved taking wolves by aerial control by the Department of Fish and Game, and that program resulted in an increase of moose in that area. We dealt with land and shoot hunting while I was on the board, and it's fair to say that my record on that issue was pretty clear. At that time, the land and shoot issue was fraught with illegal hunting. And there were major problems that accompanied land and shoot at that time, and we tried to solve those problems, and I believe we made progress. I think we have rich wildlife resources in Alaska, and I think diversity of public opinion on how those resources ought to be managed. I think many people here have a stake in wildlife, whether they're hunters or guides or tourism representatives or just ordinary people that like to watch and experience the presence of wildlife. And I'm looking forward to participating as a board member in trying to balance those various uses. I believe strongly that we can do that, and the board must do that. Finally, following this hearing, I want to tell you that I will provide written material on several of the more volatile issues that have faced the board in recent months and years. I want to put my positions in writing so that there's no doubt about where I stand, and these include issues on wolf control and wolf bounties, on land and shoot hunting, on bear baiting, on intensive management, and on subsistence. I hope we can explore some of these issues today so as to clarify the committee's understanding of my views. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any questions, Representative Olgan?
I'll yield to Representative Green, if you'd like.
Representative Green?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Van Ballenberg, this is an impressive array of articles and things that you have written. I have one that I would like to ask you about, if I may. You have an article, or actually I guess it's called a comment, on wolf predation of the Nalchina caribou herd. That has been a very hot topic, as you're well aware. Could you give us a comment about your comment on whether or not wolf predation has adversely affected that herd and should be controlled?
Well, that's a long story. I'll try to make it very short.
Just a comment, please.
I published a couple of articles there. There's an earlier one, 1985, that predates the one you're referring to. And those two articles were an attempt to summarize the data on predation on the Nalchina herd from actually the 1950s to the 1980s. It was a technical article, and I reviewed the data, and the bottom line conclusion was that wolf predation played a minor role during that period in the ups and downs of that herd. Subsequent to that, from the mid-80s till the present, I believe that the data indicate that wolf predation plays an even less role. There's about 50,000 caribou in the herd now, and somewhere around 20,000 moose in that area, and on the order of perhaps 300 wolves, plus or minus, depending upon the time of year. And that number of wolves, from what we know about wolf predator relationships, is insufficient to have much of an impact on the caribou herd at this point.
Thank you.
Representative Olgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Manville, I have a copy of a letter by Defenders of Wildlife Action Alert, dated December 10th, 1987, calling for help immediately needed. Dear Alaska Defender talks about that there are forces that have another candidate in mind, who probably endorses aerial wolf control, land and shoot practices, as well as liberal hunting and trapping regulations. And they're asking for support of their members to, it says, please write your letters as an Alaskan resident and a concerned citizen without stating any affiliation to a conservation organization to help get you confirmed. And I believe, if I remember correctly, you weren't confirmed for that position. Are you aware of any animal rights activist groups that are currently have this kind of a action going on your behalf?
This was a 1987 letter, did you say?
That's correct.
I'm glad you asked that question. My perspective on it is this. Clearly, I do not have animal rights sympathies. I do hunt. I wear leather and fur. I eat meat. I do not think laboratory animals ought to be liberated or domestic livestock ought to be liberated. I don't share any of that agenda. But I do acknowledge that the people that do and the people that have a strong interest in protecting wildlife from time to time over the years have supported me. And I think the reason for that is my views were closer to their views, even though they were a long ways away from my standards, simply because most of the members on the board from time to time have not had views that were at all sympathetic toward the middle ground. And that simply is my take on it. I haven't solicited support from animal rights groups, and if they choose to give it, I guess we've got to put it in the proper context.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Representative Willis?
Thank you. Victor, a constituent of mine suggested that it was inappropriate for a federal employee to serve on a state board. Do you see any conflicts or potential ethical problems with your current employment and public service to the state as a member of the Board of Game? I noticed that your background seems centered on research activities. Is your efforts primarily in research, or are you in a policy-making position?
My effort is entirely in research. In the U.S. Forest Service, there is a division between research and management people right at the top. I do not work for the management branch of the Forest Service, and my supervisors are not in the management branch. I have no policy-making role. I have really no role in management whatever. I do not feel that there's a conflict here, and we have done some things to try to mitigate an appearance of conflict. While I'm at the board meetings, I will be on leave. When there are specific issues, for example, in the Tongass Forest that come before the board, as I did previously during my prior term on the board, I will abstain from the discussions and votes on those issues so that there isn't even an appearance of conflict.
Representative Willis, continue.
Victor, to clear up any potential concerns or misconceptions, is there any connection or relation between your employment with the U.S. Forest Service and the Federal Subsistence Board?
None whatever. No relationship, no connections. I've had no input to them. Again, there is a person on the Federal Subsistence Board that represents the U.S. Forest Service. He works for the management branch of the Forest Service, which, again, I want to emphasize, is totally discreet and has nothing really to do with my position in research.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I have a couple questions. This is Representative James Victor. And one of the questions is, under what biological circumstances would you vote to support wolf control?
Well, you know, that's an issue that I've had to grapple with in the past. And as I indicated at the outset, I have in the past voted for, and the board did pass, and the department did implicate wolf control measures. And I guess over the years, I've always had kind of the same standards. First of all, we need to be sure we're on firm biological ground. And as you can well appreciate, the biological details are often complex and difficult. But we don't need to be wasting our efforts and spending our money if bears are the problem instead of, for example, wolves, or if tough winters, or hunting, or lack of habitat, or any of those other biological factors. First thing we need to do is be absolutely certain that we're on firm biological ground. I think the second thing we need to do is be sure that the cost-benefit ratio is favorable. These days, I guess it costs up to $2,000 a wolf if you're going to remove them by certain methods. And so we need to balance the cost with the benefits and be sure it's going to be positive. Third thing I think we need to do is be absolutely certain that the programs have broad public support. These programs are contentious, and there's a cost for failure if we don't have support. As you know, in the past we've had threats of tourism boycotts, and I think the tourism industry at one point indicated potentially an $85 million loss of revenue to the state if we went ahead with aerial wolf control. And so there's public support that needs to occur. And finally, I would say that if we are going to take wolves, we need to be sure that the methods are efficient and humane. I think anyone wants to see wolves suffer. And so if we can be on firm biological ground, if the cost-benefit ratios are favorable, if we have broad public support, if we can do it efficiently and humanely, I'm in favor of it.
On that point, this is Representative James again. It's interesting because you're talking about the things that you voted on a number of years ago, and now we're talking about a Board of Game appointment in 1996. And you indicated broad public support. You also included some issues such as the tourism boycott and the other threats that we have had from people who do not live in Alaska. And so you're talking about the cost to Alaskans. And I think that in my talking to an awful lot of people who are Alaskans, they really want to do things Alaskan way as opposed to the other way. Are you saying that we should succumb to these other issues because the cost is too high, number one, and because that the vocal public is telling us that this is not the right to do it? That's the vocal public, not the silent majority?
Madam Chair, I don't claim to be much of a politician. I guess that's more in your bailiwick, but I must observe something. First of all, I agree with the general idea that local people who use the resources ought to have the predominant voice in resource management, but I am enough of a politician, I guess, to realize that when the governor gets 20,000 letters opposing wolf control, as he did in about 1990, something's going to happen. And it occurs to me that if during that administration, in which the commissioner, the board members, the Division of Wildlife Conservation, the governor, were all strongly behind wolf control, and yet we didn't do it because we got 20,000 letters and we had threats of tourism boycotts, occurs to me we need to consider that. And again, I'm very sympathetic to the idea that local people living here should call the shots. But to think that the international protests that occur when we go out with helicopters and kill wolves is not going to have an effect on us, I think, is to ignore some reality.
Well, and on that point, it appears to me that one of the reasons that we put people such as you, with your background and experience, on the board of game is to give us the protection for those decisions that we make, if they are good decisions for the state of Alaska. You know, I think that we have a public here that needs to be satisfied, as well as the outside interests, and I think that we need to have good rebuttal, and it is from people such as yourself. We would expect that rebuttal to come, and we wouldn't expect part of that rebuttal to be the public is overwhelming, we must succumb.
Well, Madam Chair, I am prepared to, as a biologist, which I think is my strong suit on the board, to evaluate the programs. I guess the only assurance I can give you again is that if these programs are biologically sound and if they meet the other criteria, I'm in favor of them. I'm prepared to defend them and move on with them.
Thank you. Representative Logan, you have a question?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. You know, you talked about cost-effective, and granted, we have not had cost-effective programs in the past. Flying around in helicopters is expensive. Flying trappers out in helicopters is expensive. I think the most efficient would be, you know, have something that the private sector could do, either liberalize hunting seasons, liberalize methods and means, and some direction from the board and the department as to how to do this, how to manage intensively manage wolves. Broad public support, I think we have it for the most part in the state of Alaska. The cost for failure, I think we obviously failed in our last program because I believe we gave in to public outcry by a well-organized and well-funded minority. Tourism boycotts, I believe that's a smokescreen. We had wolf control program the year that we had it. It goes up 5%, and quite frankly, I don't mind stating for the record that if someone doesn't want to come to our state because we control wolves, I'd just assume they stay home. So I think the battle cry of the Alaskan hunter is save the baby moose and caribou.
I have one more question, and I think that we're just about cleaned up here, Victor. And one of them is that, and particularly since you do work for the U.S. Board, the U.S. Department of Forestry, we have a real problem in this state currently with the competing forces of timber operators, fishing, mining. All of agriculture, all of those areas, and everyone trying to make a living and trying to establish a basic industries in the state, so therefore we can support ourselves with our own ingenuity, as opposed to depending on federal funds, which we have done for a long time, and oil revenue, which is declining. I guess that I'm interested, if you were to be a member of the Board of Fish and Game, that's a very significant part of what this state does. It's like the heartbeat of the state. And what kinds of consideration would you give in making Board of Game decisions relating to these other issues and their importance?
Well, I agree with you. They are important. And I think it's critically important to realize, and I think I came to realize after my last term on the board, that many of the decisions that the board enters into significantly affect people's lives. And you know, we're certainly involved with monetary issues in some cases. Some of the regulations that pertain to the guides come right down to their ability to make a living or not. So we have to tread carefully, and certainly some of the issues on subsistence, while there might not be a monetary effect there directly, certainly subsistence is in many cases the cash economy of rural areas, and so we do affect people's lives and livelihoods, and I think I learned that lesson firmly the last time on the board, and I think I'm prepared to consider those kind of things in all of our decision making.
Well, I appreciate that. I agree with you that subsistence is just another industry. It is the way a lot of people serve their needs, basic needs of food, clothing, and shelter. It is as much an industry as the timber industry, the fishing industry, the mining industry, agriculture, and all those others who create a cash crop and sell it. Subsistence is the same thing. It just doesn't transfer from cash. It goes directly to the belly. So, you know, I'm very, very interested to hear you say that. I don't have any more questions. Representative Robinson, you have a question?
Yeah, I just have two questions. One is obviously sitting on this board takes a tremendous amount of energy and time. And if you can maybe speak to your ability to have the quality time that's needed. And then secondly, a question I've asked others is what special qualification and experience do you believe that you bring to the board that is kind of unique to you?
Well, with regard to the first question, yes, I have the time and the interest and the energy to do it and prepared to devote all that. And furthermore, I think Representative Ogun referred right in the beginning about the necessity of having the hide of a grizzly bear. And I want to tell you that I shed my grizzly bear hide a number of years ago. I moved on to the crocodile stage. So I feel I have the thick hide that it takes there as well. With regard to qualifications, I think, you know, my strong record as a wildlife biologist and the ability to bring that to the board and to consider the scientific aspects of what the board does are important. I think much of what the board does has a biological basis, and I think it's important to realize that there's limits and many, many biological concepts that have to be applied here, and willing to and able to do that. And finally, I want to return to one of the things I said at the outset, and that is the issue of balance. I believe that that many of the issues here are volatile and controversial, and what we need is a board who can try to balance some of these views amongst the various interest groups. And I'm prepared to try to do that and to try to influence the other board members to do that.
Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Vic, would you tell me, if faced with a situation where there was a conflict between biological theory, your personal preference, and the law, which one of those three would you err in favor of?
Oh, I think clearly the board must follow the law. You know, it's easy to lose sight of the fact that on many of these really gut issues like subsistence and intensive management, it's easy to lose sight of the fact that the board has a relatively narrow opportunity to address those issues. You know, the legislature, the state legislature, the federal Congress and courts, many of these issues set the broad policy guidelines, and the board's job is to try to operate within those. And so, I mean, if it's an issue of science or personal beliefs or law, I'm inclined to say that we've got to follow the law first and foremost and figure out how we can operate within that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I guess there's no more questions from the board now. So thank you very much for your participation. We have a number of people on teleconference who wish to testify, and a couple of people here in Juneau want to testify. And I would ask, the clock is moving along, I really appreciate all the interest and the questions that the board, that the committee has had regarding these candidates, and also really appreciate your extensive responses to these very difficult questions. I think that what I'm going to do is limit everyone to 2 minutes and try to get quickly. We'll start with the people in Anchorage. We have Leo Keeler. Are you there?
Yes, he's here, Madam Chair.
Okay, just state your name and address and quickly give us 2 minutes or less of testimony.
Yes, my name is Leo Keeler, and I live at 3810 Crossing Circle here in Anchorage. And I am a hunter and have been a hunter all my life. I've known Vic for many years, and I come forward to recommend that you all confirm Vic as a board member. I do that because I know Vic has helped a lot of hunters. He talks to people individually as well as giving presentations at the sportsman show and shares information as willingly as he can. His scientific background, I think, will help add a lot of credibility to the board decision and help dispel a lot of the controversy that goes along with that. And his past experience with the for it, I think will be of a benefit to everybody in the state. And I would like to take the opportunity real quickly to ask Vic two different questions. One is that since I've been an archery hunter for many years and consider black bear baiting an ethical method for hunting, especially with that sport, I would like Vic to speak on his position on that. And the other is there's been a lot of controversy about hunters and that side of the use of animals. And I'm wondering how Vic considers the impact of boycotting on other industries as well as on hunters.
Vic, can you make a real quick response to that?
I think so, Madam Chair. With regard to the bear baiting issue, that's a controversial issue that has been before the board, and I was contacted by one of the proponents of the effort to repeal the bear baiting regulations to come forth and support that repeal, and I declined to do that. My take on it is this, simply when I was on the board 10 years ago, we began efforts to reform the practice of bear baiting. At that time, it was essentially wide open. And subsequently, over the last 10 years, beginning then, there have been efforts to cause hunters to register their bait stations and to limit the number of stations and to provide for cleanup and those kind of things. And so my take on the current situation is that the existing regulation is a compromise that's resulted from many years of efforts. Had I been on the board during this past session when they voted on the issue, I would have voted to keep the regulations as they are now. Second question was with regard to boycotts. I'm not sure I fully understand that, but I don't. You know, having said what we did before in this discussion about the tourism boycott with regard to wolf control, I also want to say that I don't feel this blackmail is a very good way of doing business, really. And to the extent of people threatening boycotts of this or that over contentious issues, as Representative Ogun indicated, generally they're ineffective, and sometimes we don't care.
Thank you. Now in Anchorage, Robert Nance.
As a vice chair, I'd also like to voice my appreciation for Greg and Ann Rebels and my support for them.
Okay, we got you, Leo. Okay, Robert Nance.
My name is Robert Nance. I live at 3005 Carroll Lane in Anchorage. I came to Alaska in 1962, and one of the things that drew me here was the hunting opportunities that were offered in the state. As a 34-year resident, I'm also quite interested in your wildlife management. I believe that Vic Van Ballenberg has many of those same feelings as I do, and his interests are those of myself and other hunters. I feel that Vic Van Ballenberg would be a very valuable addition to the Board of Game, and as a biologist and a hunter, I feel that he would look at the issues from both sides. I do have one quick question for Vic, if there's a little time left. That is, what is your position on the land and shoot and the wolf hunting?
Quick, can you answer that quickly, Vic, because we're running out of time?
Yes, Madam Chair. I, of course, referred to this earlier. When I was on the board, we had a situation with land and shoot in which there was a lot of illegal activity. We tried to address those problems. I believe we did. Subsequent boards also did and ended up actually eliminating land and shoot. Since then, it's been resurrected. There's now a process where you have to move a certain distance from the airplane before you shoot the animal. And as with bear baiting, my belief on that is that the present regulation is a compromise. It's resulted from a lot of effort and time. And I'm prepared to support the present regulation. I have no intent to oppose that.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Wilkin.
I'd like to interject something quickly for the record that land and shoot for deer has been and continues to be an accepted practice in a lot of areas of the state.
Okay. Next in Anchorage, we have Jay Massey. If you could come forward, give us your name, address, and 2 minutes or less. And if please don't ask any questions of any of the people that haven't already been covered in the testimony. Thank you.
My name is Jay Massey. My address is P.O. Box 429, Girdwood, 99587. I've lived in Alaska for the last 28 years. I'm a former employee of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I'm a registered guide outfitter. I've written 4 books on archery and bow hunting. and served one term on the game board. I make my living off of three things: guide outfitting, producing an outdoor trade show, the Great Alaska Sportsman Show here in Anchorage every year, and also writing books on the outdoors. So my remarks are those of a hunter who's concerned about where we're headed. And I'd like to emphasize my utmost respect for Vic Van Mellenberg, both as a wildlife professional researcher and as a man of character and integrity. I've known Vic for more than 20 years. I served on a game board with him. Before that, I worked in the department with him. I've always found him fair and open and willing to listen. And plus, his temperament is a lot more better suited serving on a game board than mine was. I get hot-headed sometimes. I remember storming out of a couple of sessions. Vic never did that. He's very fair. He's reasonable. He's willing to listen. He's also a rare combination of a wildlife researcher, an excellent one, traditionals, who is also an ardent hunter. I know he's an ardent hunter because every time he's on vacation, he's out shooting pheasants in South Dakota or hunting white-tailed deer or wild turkey in upstate New York. I don't really understand why a few people are opposed to Vic's appointment. I can only assume that it can be summed up with their very narrow view of one thing, that's predator control. But yet, as Vic has indicated, he's not against predator control. It's just that he wants to have a really good reason for it. And I think the problem people have with Vic, and I believe there's a very small minority of people that do, is that he can't be bought. He can't be in anybody's pocket. He's his own person. And this is exactly why we need him on the board. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. And one more in Anchorage, if you could step forward. Warren Olson, give us your name and 2 minutes or less of testimony, please.
Madam Chairman, my name is Warren Olson. My address is 5961 ORTH Circle, Anchorage, ZIPS 99516. In 2 minutes, it's very difficult to express some big problems that we have. But I think Mr. Vallenberg has given us an excellent background. He has hands-on experience. He has the interests and so forth of the hunters. But even with all of that, we have a very serious problem within this state of a state-federal relationship. And right now, the state has to be very assertive because of water, because of access, because of hunting, because of fishing, and means and methods. I think Mr. Vallenberg has got a conflict of interest. I think the federal, after this week, when we find out the intent of the federal government to manage adjacent lands to public lands and parks and refuges, I think that it would be very difficult for Mr. Vallenberg to be on the game board.